In case you haven't noticed, food news is no longer relegated to the local food section of your newspaper. It's everywhere, from CNN to Fox to the Huffington Post and the New Yorker. Our appetite appears to be insatiable. So why are we so interested, and who are these people who are writing about food? Our contributor, Melissa Clark, a food writer herself at the New York Times, is turning to journalist Kat Kinsman for some answers. Kat's CV includes former managing editor of CNN's Eatocracy and now editor-in-chief of Tasting Table.
Hi, Kat. So happy to have you here.
I am delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
Kat, tell us, why has food become so important to people in the media? What are they looking for?
It's the only subject that you can cover that absolutely every single person has something to do with. Everybody eats. Not everybody is fetishy about it, and that's okay. I do a little game with myself if I'm traveling, and I try to talk to three different people who I've never met before, and the inroad is always food. Somebody's eaten today. Somebody's thinking about where they're going to eat. Everybody has a stake in the game.
But I've noticed that over the past decade or so, food has become even more important. I mean, there were always food sections, there are always food magazines, but lately there's just been this sort of snowballing effect. Everybody wants to read about food. Why do you think it's become so important?
Well, it is a new entertainment. Not everybody feels that they can keep up with music or politics or any of these things. This is a thing that you can achieve in the comfort of your own home. You can show a little bit of who you are through what you serve. It is inherently a generous act. You know, everybody's got a point of view. Everybody is correct. And that's, you can't argue with somebody's likes. Everybody eats and everybody has a point of view.
Do you think that because there are more people blogging about what they're eating every day, that it makes it more accessible, that people feel like they can join the conversation more easily?
In some ways, I feel like social media can make all of this a little bit off-putting. I talk about sort of this Pinterest phobia that, you know,
Do you have one?
I don't pay a huge amount of attention to Pinterest because I realize the reality versus, you know, the perception there. There was a survey done recently, one of the morning shows did it, about Pinterest of anxiety that mothers have in particular. And it really, they feel physical anxiety from seeing the other things that other mothers, that other people out there are achieving in their own kitchens, whether it's classroom cupcakes, some sort of dinner that they have made. And they back off from trying this at home. And that actually really makes me sad. So I think if you can eliminate some of the visual elements of social media and have just people talk about food, it whets the appetite. It inspires, it includes, and I think that's a very positive thing.
So how important are the recipes? I mean, I think across the web, recipes are the way that people are, it's the entry point into a lot of different websites, into different blogs. And I know at the Times, it's the way that we're developing our audience. We are putting recipes out there to try to get people who are interested in cooking at home aside from all of our other food coverage. And how do you find that works for you?
Recipes have to be bulletproof. Absolutely. They have to work. And, you know, something, this is my first test kitchen, and I'm so thrilled. I was at AOL before I was at CNN. And in both places, we relied on chef recipes, cook's recipes. And we would, I love vintage cookbooks deeply, passionately. And we would test things out in our own kitchens. But that's not the same as having a team who is in there trying these recipes out and making sure that they absolutely work. They 100% have to. If you see something on Tasting Table, it has been tested and retested. And there is trust built up there. And that's why I really do argue in favor of the bloggers who, you know, meticulously test things, who develop recipes on their own, who it's not they change one ingredient from an established recipe and call it theirs. I believe in intellectual property being intensely important and originality. When I cook from things I find on the web, I go to established sources, either bloggers I trust or places that I know test over and over.
Well, the idea that people are taking other people's recipes, I mean, you see that a lot. That's something that comes up, the ethics of blogging. So do you think that there's a difference in the ethics between food bloggers and food journalists?
In my ideal world, no. But I think there are different kinds of bloggers, and I think you just really have to pick a lane about what sort you're going to be. There are bloggers who I trust absolutely and implicitly because they are staking their own reputation on what they put out there online. They are going to fact check themselves. They are going to keep themselves honest. They will disclose if there has been any sort of influence or freebies on it. And that said, there's a different kind of food blogger too. Ones who really are heavily influenced by products and trips and freebies. And I think that they can be just as valid so long as they fully disclose where any of that comes from. I need to feel a level of trust. And I always say it's sort of like porn, you know, when you see it. And and I think if people want to have an ongoing relationship with their readers, there needs to be a trust level there. A lot of bloggers are actually signing pledges and petitions. The Association of Food Journalists has an ethics policy there, and I think they're encouraging more bloggers to do that. And I think some of that is just a matter of education, because there's absolutely no barrier to entry to becoming a blogger. And I think some just don't know, like, hey, wait, I wasn't supposed to do that, or if I did take that, I need to mention that, because it's not something that comes about in your everyday life. Unless somebody tells you, you might actually not know that.
So who are the food bloggers and the food writers that you really love to read?
Well, food writers Francis Lamb, I will read. He could write absolutely anything. He could write a Gowanus Canal water report, and I would read that just because. And he's somebody who has gone to various outlets, and his prose is perfect no matter where you go, and it's playful. Michael Procopio from Food for the Thoughtless has these really idiosyncratic, fantastic stories to share. And then it's a bit of profanity. S... food blogger is my favorite person on Twitter, who really skewers kind of the food blogging community and is a treat each and every day.
Kat, it was so great talking to you. Thank you for coming.
This was such a treat for me. Thanks for having me.
Kat Kinsman is editor-in-chief of Tasting Table. Melissa Clark is a food columnist at the New York Times and author of Eat This Now. Well, try one of Kat's favorite recipes from Tasting Table. It's caramelized onion dip with feta, spinach, and walnuts. And it's, you know where, splendidtable.org.